Hello, I'm Major Adrian Allman.
And I'm Captain Claire Allman.
Welcome to the Birmingham Citadel Salvation Army podcast series. Birmingham Citadel is a Christian church located in Birmingham city centre, here in the UK. Each episode is a live recording of the Bible message shared during the Sunday worship service.
It's good to have you share with us, and as you listen now, we pray that God will speak to you. May you know God's abundant blessing today.
I'm looking at John chapter 8 this morning, which is, I am the light of the world, but we need to give it a bit of context, so we need to go back a chapter. We need to go back to John chapter 7. And so I want to give the context to John 8 by going into John chapter 7 and the first 14 verses, which say this: After this, Jesus went around in Galilee, purposely staying away from Judea, because the Jews there were waiting to take his life. But when the Jewish Feast of Tabernacles was near, Jesus' brother said to him, You ought to leave here and go to Judea, so that your disciples may see the miracles you do. No one who wants to become a public figure acts in secret. Since you are doing these things, show yourself to the world. For even his own brothers did not believe in him. Therefore Jesus told them, The right time for me has not yet come. For you, any time is right. The world cannot hate you, but it hates me because I testify that what it does is evil. You go to the feast. I'm not yet going up to this feast, because for me the right time has not yet come. And having said this, he stayed in Galilee. However, after his brothers had left for the feast, he went also, not publicly, but in secret. Now at the feast, the Jews were watching for him and asking, Where is that man? Among the crowds, there was widespread whispering about him. Some said, He's a good man. Others replied, No, he deceives the people. But no one would say anything publicly about him for fear of the Jews. Not until halfway through the feast did Jesus go up to the temple courts and begin to teach. So there's our context. This morning we're going to continue looking at our Lent series, looking at the I Am sayings of Jesus. And in the Gospel of John, we turn to John chapter 8, verse 12, and we read these words, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. During this series that we've been looking at, we've been considering that God makes himself known. That's what we've been saying over the last few weeks. We have a God who makes himself known. And today, we want to consider God being a light that illuminates our darkness. And we want to consider, as we consider this idea of him being the light, how we can know God's guidance. I think when we were putting this series together a few weeks ago, I don't think we'd ever realise or ever see the significance of knowing, of doing this meeting this day, that coming at a time when we would all be looking for guidance, when we'd all be seeking God's guidance, we never imagined that when we came to be putting these things. These are certainly unprecedented days. And we do need to be seeking God's guidance day by day. And so it's very apt that this morning in our series, we have this text. Light as a theme permeates the whole of the Bible. You know that. You'll know from your reading of the scripture. From beginning to end, light is a common theme. Genesis reminds us that at the very beginning of time, the first thing that God spoke into existence was light. Let there be light. And there was light. Go to the very end of the Bible, to Revelation chapter 22, when he was speaking of the new heaven and the new earth. The book of Revelation tells us this: there will be no more night. There will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light. This is the new heaven. This is the new earth. So, beginning to end, you know as well in the middle, the prophecies of Isaiah. We talk about them at Christmas, don't we? prophecies that tell of the Messiah coming. Use the image of light. Isaiah chapter 9, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. So what does the Bible tell us? When God was present, light seemed to be in abundance. Whenever God appeared to great people, whether it was Moses, there was a dazzling array of light. When God was present, light seemed to be there. And when Jesus spoke these well-known words, "I am the light of the world," he was actually in Jerusalem for the Feast of the Tabernacles. And that was why it's important for us to understand this context from John chapter 7. What is the Feast of the Tabernacles? Well, the Feast of the Tabernacles was a Jewish feast, is a Jewish feast, used to commemorate the Israelites journeying through the wilderness after they left Egypt. Don't you find it amazing that how many of these I am sayings that we're reading from John's Gospel have connections to the wilderness days? The bread and the manna. The I am who I am. All these connections that we have. Well, how did they live in the wilderness? During the wilderness years, the people lived in temporary shelters. They were sort of like little structures that they could put up, that they could live in for a wee while, take down, and then as they moved, they could go with them. They were the forerunner, really, to the modern-day tent. They just didn't have carbon fibre and tent material in those days, so they had to make their own. What were these little tents called, these little shelters? They were called sukkahs. Sukkahs. And these little shelters went with them wherever they went. And when the Israelites left the wilderness, when they entered the promised land, Moses instructed the people of God that they were to remember their wilderness experience and every year keep this festival called the Feast of the Tabernacles. And what were they to do? For one whole week, they were to put up their shelter again, wherever they were living. And for a whole week, they were to live in it. And so once a year, every year, by living in this little shelter, they would remember their wilderness experience and all that they went through. They still do it. Happens every October. You go to most Jewish people, you'll find that they're observing and building their own little sukkah in their garden or wherever, where they observe the Feast of the Tabernacle. The annual festival reminded people of their journeying, reminded people of their temporary houses that they built along the way. And what was it doing? What was the purpose? It reminded them that life is a continual pilgrimage. Life is a continual pilgrimage. And actually, when you think about it, this world in which we live is not the final destination. We do not believe that this is the final destination. The ultimate destination is to be with God. This life of ours is a pilgrimage. Do you know, I love my girls dearly. I hate traveling with them anywhere. I don't know about you, but if you've ever had young children in the car, if ever we've got a journey to make, I'm amazed at how much they want to bring just to keep themselves entertained. Why is $1 not enough? Why do we have to bring the whole house, 3 prams, a changing table and everything else? I can't get the suitcases in the car because we've got the entertainment that comes first. And then worse still, we start. And I can guarantee that before I've got to Spaghetti Junction, I'm being asked if we can stop to go to the toilet. This picture is one that I regularly see. Last half term, we were going to Claire's mother and father's for a few days. I didn't get to Coventry before I had to call in at Corby Station because one of them wanted the toilet. We only left a few minutes ago, girls. You know, thankfully, these places are just stopping points. Rob Fuqua, in his book, The God That We Know, that is the book I'm reading over Lent, a lot of this, I'm getting a lot of our material from. He says in that book this: the belief that life is a journey is liberating, because when you find yourself in an unwanted place, you can know that the place is not a destination. It's just a stopping point. Have you been thankful that some places in your life were just stopping points? When you know life is a journey, it keeps stopping places from becoming staying places. Wow! What an idea that is! No place in life is permanent. We all have stopping places other than service stations. And do you know what? These stopping places are not staying places. We do not have to stay there. And it was important the Israelites remembered this. When they were in the wilderness, God's presence went before them. You know it did. How did it go? It went as a cloud or a pillar of fire. It was visible. And actually, when it moved, they moved. They put their little Sukkots down. They started on the road. God's presence led them from place to place. And all they had to do was follow God. And do you know what? By remembering the Festival of Tabernacles every year, they would, and they do, remind themselves that they still need God's guidance in life. Now, this great festival, this great Feast of Tabernacles, was over a few days. And it culminated in a torch procession. And it was a huge torch procession. It was called the Great Illumination. And on that day, they would sing, they would dance, and there were so many torches in the temple that the light could be seen as far away as Galilee from Jerusalem. People would celebrate, they would remember, and all the mountains around Jerusalem would be lit up. The area would be turned into one big cauldron of light. And in a festival that celebrates God as leader and guide, on the day when there's all this light around, when it could be seen for miles around, Jesus stands up and he announces, "I am the light of the world." Can you imagine the impact? With all this light everywhere, this great celebration, he stands and he says, "I am the light of the world." His claim to the Messiah was clear. Couldn't be hidden. Nobody could. Oh, I don't know what he's saying there. It was obvious what he was saying. And actually, what he was saying was, for all of you who seek light and direction through life, I will be your pillar. I will be your light. I am the light of the world. And whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. It's interesting that the night that Jesus declared himself to be the light of the world was not just a night of celebration. There was a lot of tension in the air. I needed to read 7 to you because you'll get the idea of how much tension was in the air. Everybody wanted to go to this feast. Jesus was reluctant. Didn't want to go. He knew that actually, when were he to go, there were people there, religious leaders, that were plotting his downfall. And as we go through John chapter 7, there we find that that is the case. There's talk of the Sanhedrin, who are meeting together during the Feast of the Tabernacle. And they're meeting together and they're plotting how they could bring an end to his life. And he knew that. The Jewish leaders, they were seeking to squash the Messiah in their midst. And so when it was discovered that he was in Jerusalem, what did they do? I didn't read it, but here it is. If you've got your Bible open at John 7, look at verse 32. The Pharisees heard the crowd whispering things about him. That's Jesus. So the chief priests and the Pharisees sent temple guards to arrest him. So in the middle of this big feast, the Sanhedrin has already decided enough's enough. Let's get him arrested now. And so the guards go. They come into his presence. But actually it backfires on the Sanhedrin. Why? Because the guards are just mesmerized by this man, Jesus. And as he's talking, they're just, whoa. There's nothing I've ever heard like this. And they go back to the Sanhedrin and say, we didn't arrest him because actually he was like nothing we've ever heard. So amidst this celebration, there's all this tension going on. And then something amazing happens. As the guards are reporting back to the Sanhedrin, telling them why they've not arrested Jesus, Nicodemus, the great Pharisee, the great religious leader. We've read about him in John 3. We've heard him do this intercourse with Jesus. This is a man who's having his thoughts, his doctrine challenged. And in that conversation with Jesus there in John chapter 3, we hear a little bit more of some of the things that are going on in his head. Well, come John chapter 7, Nicodemus stands up again. And in front of these religious leaders, he starts defending Jesus. A devout Jewish leader who's allowing his thinking to be challenged. The things he once held sacred, he's now re-examining. Now that's courage, to be able to acknowledge that perhaps God has further insight to give on the things that we believe. In his book, Rob Fuqua also says this, and I found this quite profound. When we let him be our light, he exposes what needs to change or be brought to a newer understanding. Letting that happen takes courage. When we let him be our light, he exposes what needs to change. Far too many Christians stop growing or becoming effective because they refuse Jesus to be the light that exposes them to newer understanding of God. Do you know, when we expose ourselves to the light of Jesus, it always brings us to a better place. Always. One of the most bizarre experiences I had with my torch issues was one day in the Australian outback when I was stationed over in Sydney. I'd gone out for the day into the outback. I'd gone to a place called the Jenolan Caves. And if ever any of you have been out that way, it's an underground labyrinth, a beautiful place. And I was driving home, and as I drove home late at night in the outback, headlights on, across the road waddles a wombat. I don't know whether you've ever seen a wombat or know what a wombat is. A wombat's like a big pig, really. Doesn't sprint, doesn't run, just waddles. And they're driving through the outback. This thing waddles across the road. Brakes screech as I try not to hit this thing. Think I managed to miss it, so I think, right, I'll pull over, see if I did actually clobber it. Get out the car, look, can't see it. Take the ignition out. And the car that I had, the minute you took the ignition out, the lights went off. And then suddenly, in the outback, no light pollution at all, not a street light for hundreds of miles. I'm suddenly looking up and the stars, there's not a cloud in the sky. Wow. 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 I wandered 3 feet away from the car, and then when I'd stopped my wow in and all the rest of it, I decided I needed to get back in the car and go home. Turn round. Where's the car? Where is the car? because there was no light pollution at all, nothing but the stars, it was pitch black. And even though the car was only 3-4 foot away, I could not see it. And the panic suddenly set in. I didn't know what to do. I couldn't find the car. I didn't even know that if I started walking in that direction, I'd be walking into the middle of the outback. What? Trusty me. This is what I had in my pocket. My trusty little Nokia brick. Do you remember those? Yes. And I thought, right, torch, forget it. They didn't have torches on. If you remember rightly, it was a green screen, wasn't it? So I pressed a button and the green screen lit up this little inch enough that when I turned it around, I could see a few, and I found my car. I cannot tell you how grateful I was to get back in that car and drive away. You know, the interesting thing is that when you think about those torches, the illustration I did with the kids earlier, you can't see many of them. They don't illuminate much more than a few feet in front of us, do they? They give just enough light for a few steps ahead. And do you know what I think? God's guidance is very much like that. If this morning we talk about a God who guides, God's guidance is exactly the same. When you trust Christ as light of the world, he tends to give one direction, one step at a time. You know, sometimes the darkness we encounter in life is not of our making. What we're going through now is not of our making. I didn't do it, did you? Sometimes it's not complete darkness either. Sometimes it's more of a cloudiness where we long to see the destination, but we just can't. Sometimes we just don't know what the end of the road will be like. All we can do is trust Christ one step at a time. Do you know, this has been my experience throughout my life, that God provides enough for the steps ahead. For the steps ahead. I might not see the horizon, but I've got enough for the steps ahead. The stopping place is not a staying place because I've got enough for the steps ahead. You know, like the Israelites in the wilderness, when we refuse to allow our stopping places to be staying places, then we experience darkness being turned to light. Then we experience God's guidance. I am the light of the world, Jesus said. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Are you in a stopping place at the moment? Or are you in a staying place? Do you know God's guidance in your life at this moment in time? Are you trusting him enough just for the first few steps? Because that's often all it is. We all need guidance, and this morning we seek it together. And as we just intercede and ask the Lord to guide us, we're going to sing a beautiful song, just two verses of it, because I only wanted the first two verses, that just asks the Lord to do the leading. Lord, lead us this day. Lead us, may we know that your hand, your light is guiding us. Not just because at the moment we have these difficult days to face, but in all circumstances, whatever, may we know God's guidance in every way. Sing with me. And if you need God's guidance, especially today, why don't you claim it? Might only be enough for a step at a time, but that's enough. That's enough. Claim it for yourself. Thank you. didn't let him lead me enough this morning because he chose the wrong tune, but never mind. It doesn't matter. Because the words are what's important. Is he leading you? Is he leading you this day? Let's pray together. Lord, when events darken our world, give us light. When despair numbs our soul, give us hope. When we stumble and fall, lift us up. When doubts assail us, give us faith. When nothing seems sure, give us trust. When ideals fade, give us wisdom. And when we lose our way, be our guide. And in these days to come, may we find serenity in your presence and purpose in doing your will. And may we know your light always before us. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to our podcast this week.
So you don't miss any further recordings, please subscribe to this podcast and also share and review it to help other people find and join our Birmingham Citadel online congregation.
This has been a production for Birmingham Citadel Salvation Army in the United Kingdom. If you'd like to know more about us or want to worship with us, then visit our webpage at birminghamcitadel.co.uk.